Hey, everybody. Really fun show this morning. Fair warning, the first 30 minutes of the show, about 20 minutes on this recording, are purely banter. So if you don't enjoy listening to us, you know, make jokes and have banter, then skip past the first 20 minutes. Probably the longest intro of banter that we've ever had. After that, we talk about liquidity on Solana, rotating from Utes into some degen plays over there. We actually surface some lower end of the market Ethereum plays also that get brought to our attention during the show. We talk about GameStop and Web2 companies and their approach to Web3. We have Bored Elon on the show and some other cool people. Overall, I thought it was a fantastic show overall. As always, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX. How do you want it, ladies and gentlemen? This is the NFT Morning Show, Thursday, September 8th. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, each and every week, where we discuss all the stories of the NFT space. We pay attention to the markets. We offer our objective and sometimes terrible analysis on the NFT markets. I'm Pio, here with my co-host Nifty Nick, the owner of a Bored Ape and a CryptoPunk. People just open doors for this guy in New York City because he owns those two NFTs. Signal, the best writer in the NFT space. Easy Eats Bodega, the guy that Twitter Spaces hates the most. He gets rugged over and over again, but it's a good thing that Solana loves him. King Kicks, the CEO of Crypto Raiders. This guy will build a brand around anything. He's building brands around three character ENSs that were former cereal companies. Spencer Gordon Sand, you know, we're going to have a lot to talk about with him soon. Depeche Node, the host of the Node Mode podcast. And of course, Benjamin, one of the biggest OGs in the Bored Ape community, an all around great guy. We got a lot to talk about today. As usual, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code TheNifty on your FTX mobile app. Cheapest fees in the game to buy crypto, gasless transactions on NFTs. And if you spend over $200 on the cryptocurrency of your choice with our code on FTX, you'll get a $20 bonus airdropped right into your account. So we're going to start getting right into it. But before we go any further, I want to throw to Node. What's going on, amigo?
You know, I'm actually really happy the way you started off the show this morning. I wasn't going to say this, but I feel like I can now. You know, when you were saying good morning in the last few weeks, the good was very, very off key. So I'm really stoked that you started it off like with a different intro. How do you want it, ladies and gentlemen? That was nice. So I'm doing good here. Although life is a little bit intense. My wife has been out of town for a week, so I am home alone with the kids. And let's just say I've been running a tight ship. That's our family motto. Trying to stay alive here. Barely hanging on. I got like three more days.
So first of all, how dare you say that I'm off key when I say good morning? That's number one. Number two, how is a man surviving without his wife for a whole week when he has kids? I don't understand that at all. Like, I thought that guys just weren't able to do anything on their own.
I fit the stereotype pretty well, but I will say my wife is amazing. She had to do things like she like made a few pre-prepared meals, and she wrote things like, remember to take off the saran wrap when you put it in the oven. You know, that's the kind of faith that she's got in me. And my daughter, my oldest daughter, literally said the night before my wife left, she said, Mom, I'm afraid that dad's just going to screw everything up when you leave. Right in front of my face. But I will tell you this. I have been doing a stellar job. We've already had a couple, you know, things, a couple incidents, as it were, and I've handled them very well. Had a couple impromptu doctor visits, and everything's good. My wife doesn't even know about the doctor visits yet because I've just handled it. I'm a handle it guy.
Well, mama don't know, won't hurt her, Node. It sounds like you're handling yourself really well, overcoming the adversity of just having children and not having your wife with you. I want to throw over to the brand maker himself, King Kicks. What's going on? Oh, go ahead, Nick.
I just want to say, que no entiendo inglés, Node.
Well, so first of all,
you're adorable when you speak Spanish. Just, you know, you actually should keep this up, dude. I think it's going to be good for your dating life.
I heard the accent. I heard the accent. So I'm sure an actual, you know, Latino person would say that that was a thick accent. But Nick, people might not know that you speak French.
Que?
But you won't do it now.
Quoi?
The brand maker himself, King Kicks, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? Just enjoyed a lovely bacon, egg, and cheese bagel and feeling incredible.
Nice. Do you speak any other languages, Kicks?
No, habla inglés, señor.
Okay, that's what I figured. Nick, the Spanish speaker himself, what's going on? Or do you not remember English today?
No sé. No idea. What's going on, man? Let me tell you, I started my day without an exercise this morning. I'm looking forward to doing the exercise after this show. I was too busy putting together a lamp last night, and it really kept me up late. Let me tell you, things have been getting pretty wild over in my household over here. There's been no kids running around. I've been actually, you know, while nobody else is here, I've been trying to keep care of myself. And let me tell you, that's someone who's really tough to please and take care of. So I feel like I've just been babysitting myself.
Yeah, your pets were looking great the last time I saw you, and it's been months. So I'm sure they're even more solid.
What's that? My what?
Pectorals?
Your pecs, your chest muscles.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, no, those are definitely expanding because that's the only exercise I do is work out my pecs. You know, wake up in the morning and I just look at them and I say, my gosh.
You ever just thought about like doing a cycle of testosterone and seeing what happened?
No.
Like steroids. Yeah. I mean, I've thought about that a lot, if I'm being honest, but
really
just one cycle.
Well, sometimes you're just like, yo, why don't I just take roids and get absolutely huge? So Johnny Blaze.
I was going to say, I hear it helps you perform on stage. Testosterone. I don't know. I feel like this show definitely needs more testosterone, Pia. We just don't have enough of it. You know, one of the things I think of when I hear this show on playback is, well, we need more dudes, you know, one really real struggle here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm 32, so I think we still have time. Once I'm in my 40s, we'll probably go the testosterone route and just get more jacked than you ever have been in your 40s. I think it's a good idea. Johnny Blaze from the Nifty community, one of my favorite members of the community, he makes the best memes. There is no second best. He made me cry from laughing from one of the memes that he dropped over the weekend. Someone said that they needed the Nick workout plan after you mentioned working out right now. And then he called it that wide neck workout plan. A lot of people do wonder how you work out your neck at such an elite level, Nick.
That's like a weird comment. I don't know what to say. Be like, I've also been working out my nose. So like, well, I don't, it's not, I've noticed on YouTube and on video, people just like end up a lot of comments about people's necks. It stands depending on the angle that you're at. I have no idea. You know, I don't work out my neck. I'm going to be honest. Instead, I stretch it because that gets injured from, remember when I plowed through 11 men? That was the situation I dealt with. So I ran, I plowed directly through them. And so that injured my neck. And so it was a classic man plowing injury. And so, yeah, people busting ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, you seeing these neck memes? I mean,
okay.
Dude, you're acting. You're like, oh, yeah, but they're posting ridiculous stuff. You're acting like you don't do all this stuff. Everybody knows you do this, man. You work out your neck.
Yeah, so anyways, the way that I work it is I just plow through a bunch of men. So that's what I've been doing for the time being. And it's injured me. So now I just stretch it out. This is alpha.
Next time you're at the gym, Nick, I think you need to put on the Kanye West workout song. And then he has these lines where he goes, that's right, put in work, eat your solids, no dessert, get that man, you deserve. And like when he hits those lyrics, that's when you're going to cycle the fastest and that's when your neck will grow. So that's my
interesting.
No. Look, Kanye is saying, move your ass, go berserk, eat your solids, no dessert, get that man you deserve. Take that advice, your neck will grow.
Your neck will grow.
Your neck's gonna grow, buddy.
I'm gonna be honest. That That wasn't on the list of items, but yeah.
Nick, I'm looking for a real tropo farmer neck out of you.
I feel like we're making Nick uncomfortable about his neck. Everybody loves your neck, buddy. Don't worry about it. And I feel like...
Yeah, it's a fine neck.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Pia, I read this person that says you look like Luigi and you should probably fix your face. I'm reading it here in the comments. What do you think about that, Pia? Like, did you do the face workout? Like, how is that? How's that going?
I've literally been told I look like Luigi, Mario, Bert from Sesame Street, and various other Italian cartoon characters since I was a child.
But I think, Pio, Node's derivative has to be my favorite.
Yeah, someone called me a derivative of Node. That was an absolute riot. My thing is, if somebody says something funny, like if someone's going to make fun of us and do it in a funny way, I just think it's like the funniest shit on the planet. Like the guy that some guy said to Nick, he said, "Your crypto punk looks like Chucky Finster put on Oculus goggles." And I just thought that that was like the funniest thing. So I love when people, you know, roast us in a funny way. The thing is, some people, you know, they hear that and they're like, "Oh, I'm going to roast these guys." And they're literally like, "You guys are useless pieces of shit. I fucking hate you." And I'm just like, well, that's not necessarily, I don't know if Dave Chappelle would say that that was like a funny, like a well-written joke, you know?
Oh man. Yeah, some of the troll stuff is just direct just attacks on you. What? You're not
they know
no one gives a shit about what you say, okay?
Go ahead, Ben.
No, I was saying they know you'll engage. Out of you and Nick, you're the one that'll get into the YouTube comments going back and forth with them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's true. I mean, the thing is, sometimes people in our community will do it too. They'll literally be like, "Yeah, all your NFT takes are fucking the stupidest shit I've ever heard. You don't have a brain in your head. You suck." And I'm just like, and I get the guy, and I'm like, "Yo, man, hey, like, you know, can we talk one-on-one for a minute?" And he's just like, "Yeah, sure. What's going on?" And I'm just like, "Yo, like, what's up with that comment?" And they're like, "Oh, I'm just like, you know, having a good time, like contributing to the banter." And I'm like, "Well, you just kind of like said an incredibly rude comment, and it wasn't funny." So
it's like in those movies where there's like three guys that says a joke, and then like the fourth guy's like, you know, Brick from Anchorman, and just says like something absurd. It's like, okay, buddy, cool your jet.
They mean well. They just don't get like, no, you have to actually like write a funny joke. You can't just insult the shit out of me, you know, like your mother should have never had you. You suck. Like, it's like, oh my God.
Those are actually, I enjoy some of those the most because it's just the someone, there's some banter that's going on and the person's like, "I'm going to join this conversation." And they just come out with something completely out of left field, which is just a direct attack where they're just like, "You're ugly. You'll never amount to anything."
Yeah. Okay. You're ugly as fuck. If you said that you ever had sex before, you're lying. So real quick.
Anyways, this has been all.
K Dean is in our Discord saying he's losing brain cells over here for 20 minutes. People are like, this is just brutal. Sorry, everybody. Sorry you tuned into this show today. So before we dive into the weather report, we have motherfucking Dadeep. Dadeep is the host of the show on Twitter Spaces, Rolling in Dadeep. I got to meet Dadeep for the first time via Twitter Spaces last week on Easy's show. I invited him to come on the show. I'm very excited to have him here. He came on stage. He raised his hand. Dadeep, what's on your mind?
Hey, Pio, how's it going? I just had to come on stage because you were talking about people who often tried to be funny, but also often happen to be unfunny, because I am one of those people. So, you know, I just thought that, you know, I would be a right fit in the conversation. So, yeah, I just had to stop by and say hello.
Well, I guess, Dadeep, if you were going to, like, roast me and Nick with one of those unfunny roasts that are actually just really hurtful, like, what angle would you take?
If you were going to say something hurtful to us, what would you say? Like, what is this show? What just happened? Hey, Dadeep, if you were going to just insult somebody directly and if you're going to make fun of our moms, what would you say?
I just would have asked her to be a virgin all her life. Like, I think she really made some questionable decisions. But I wanted to ask, like, NFT Nick, I believe you do have a Basie, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Oh man, I am so sorry for your bags, NFT Nick, because yesterday I flipped the founder of Basie on NFT Inspect. So if I have more influence than that guy, then that's the final nail on your coffin, NFT Nick. I really believe that Basie is absolutely finished with this one. So yeah, man, like, I have the most misinformed takes on twitter.com, and if I have more influence than him, then I just don't really know what's up, man.
Well, the way that influence is built on there on that side is you got to discuss soul, but step back one sec. Slam! Damn, that insult was bonkers. Holy shit,
that was crazy.
What? I've never had someone say that about me ever.
Nick, he didn't just want your mom not to have you. He wanted her to be a virgin her whole life. So I think that even cuts deeper.
Yo, talk about insult. Start adding insult to injury. What? Your mom should have stayed a virgin.
My man Nick's going to be walking around Brooklyn today in a cast. Sadiq just broke this motherfucker's arm. Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we like to have fun. Clearly, both me and Nick were in a silly mood today, which is always a good sign. Great having Sadiq on stage here. Shout out to Sadiq for flipping one of the founders of Bored Ape Yacht Club in influence. Can't say that I'm surprised. Everyone's talking about Sadiq.
To be clear, literally scroll through here. I mean, I don't know what this leaderboard is. Like, it looks like, I feel like your mom put this together or something like that, because it's complete nonsense. It's not based on anything. Every, like, 99% of these people have Solana PFPs. So I don't know. It doesn't make a whole ton of sense for me. But, you know, get after it.
Where do you stand on the rankings, NFT Nick?
Where do I stand? Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. I've never checked that out. Let's find out. I'm not on them.
You're not on the rankings.
If my mom really put it together, you won't be even in top 500. So let's see.
Shillin Villain though is the top 10 guy, right? I don't. He used to be number one, right?
Yeah,
yeah, he's number two.
Shillin Villain, you're on stage now. NFT Inspect is the most important thing to you in your whole life. Do you disagree with what Nick's talking about? Do you feel that that it actually does mean something?
I don't even know what you're referencing. Is it NFT? What is it called again? I'm sorry, I missed the name.
You've never checked the site out. Yeah, okay.
It's so, NFT Nerds statistic tool.
No, I don't. It's open. I don't go around checking analytics for social media accounts. Like, I just go out and outperform everyone. That's normally what I do. Are you saying there's a site that tracks the analytics that I'm outperforming people?
I picture.
You know what isn't outperforming? This start of the show. So this is literally us just talking about insults. I'm gonna write that down in my journal and be like, yeah, maybe not.
we're almost a half hour in.
Yeah, and people are insulted. Like, what? We woke up this morning and we're like, what? It was like, you know what I'm going to do this morning is not discuss NFTs.
Wow, I didn't have that on the bingo card, is just not do the show for the first 30 full minutes. But while we're at it, so Alex, when you talk about outperforming on social media, I'm just picturing you, like, you know, Olympic style training just to write more tweets than other people and to host longer and more robust Twitter spaces. Like, day in, day out, are you just like, I'm outperforming on Twitter? I'm outperforming on Twitter. Twitter today. Let's fucking go.
I'm addicted to this app for some reason. I couldn't tell you why. I just, it's a bad habit. I probably am never going to break it. But yeah, I think that's really what I'm doing. It's not that I enjoy, like, flipping people in NFT and spec like pancakes. It just naturally happens. It's just the enjoyment that I get out of participating in it.
Basically, what you're saying is it's like if they had, like, a, you know, top crack users of the week leaderboard. You know, like, winning it isn't necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, so someone,
he did tweet on July 26th that being number one on NFTN spec more than justifies me saying I'm a known public figure. Where did that tweet come from? And are you saying, like, because just before you were saying you never heard of this thing. So I don't know. It just seems like completely confusing.
Yeah. So there was a lot of people that were defaming my name. I speak to crypto lawyers all the time. They always want to get on the show so they can get more cases. So it's a win-win situation. And we were talking about defamation of character. So if anyone goes around slandering my name, I do plan on pressing charges. And that's where that tweet was inspired from. Because now that I'm number one on like a social media tracking app, I'm now a known public figure.
Well, so real quick, I want to say we got someone saying in our Discord, what a waste of fucking time. Morning banter show. He's just so mad at what's going on right now. And then someone said none of this would be happening if Nick had a smaller neck. So, I mean, I think we know where the people stand on the start of this show. So real quick, we're going to get into the show, ladies and gentlemen.
If I wanted to listen to a bunch of screaming over each other, I'd listen to Shill and Villain show later. If I wanted a third-rate Howard Stern, I'd listen to Shill and Villain at 2 o'clock. Come on.
Sneaky Ninja Pants said he's learned more this morning than he normally would. Don't let the haters bring you down. Someone else is proposing that we start a show called Neck at Night, and I think I have an idea of the structure of that show. You know, Alex, since we have you on stage, I'd love to announce the show that we're going to do Saturday evening, but you're impossible to get a hold of, so I haven't gotten a chance to talk to you to plan it. And then I also don't know if you're just going to go and do that show with other people and me and Easy are going to be left hung out to dry. So I don't know, like, should I announce it or should we announce the show you're doing with other people?
Hey, Pio, guess what? No one cares about that show. So that's actually the situation that we're dealing with right now. I just checked with the audience and yeah, no one cares. So hey, Shill and Villain, I'd say tell us about it, but literally, they're all saying, wow, that guy's unprofessional and boring.
Yeah, well, I don't want to bore an audience. I don't want to bore the listeners. And I'm more so like researching if there's like crossover between the listeners of what PO presented. And it was a MMA fight. And I think there's like a lot of speculation in that. And I think there is crossover within the NFTs and almost like sports audience. So I think it would be something very interesting to at least experiment with. And yeah, PO, like, I'm all game to participate.
Well, first of all, listen to that sophisticated analysis. That's that Twitter analysis coming into play. So yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Saturday night, we're going to do a little podcast. We're going to do an NFT MMA fight companion. So we're going to watch the fights. I'm going to drink alcohol by myself in front of this microphone. And we're going to, you know, kind of do a little play-by-play of the fight Saturday night. So that should be fun. Anyway, we're a full 30 minutes in. It's time to actually get the show on the road. I'll throw to the Kickster, King Kicks, for the weather report. 30 minutes late. Let's rock.
Let's absolutely rock. And I completely apologize if you hear traffic out here. It's a bear market. I have taken a part-time job as a crossing guard. The red light. The red light.
Well, you're completely cutting out.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Alrighty. Perfect.
I'm glad you got that bacon, egg, and cheese, buddy. Go ahead.
Yep. Today is Thursday, the 8th of September. And here is your beautiful weather report. OpenSea volume, nice move up to $14 million. Big bounce off of the $9, $10 million low we recently saw. But we are seeing some bleeding. Apes down to 73, Mutants at 13, Punks at 64, Moonbirds at 11, officially one of my biggest losses, Doodles at 7.5, Clonex at 6, bought one of those at 12, so just blowing money over here. Solana is leading the OpenSea ranks. So I talked about this yesterday, 40%. So 4 out of the top 10 projects yesterday were Solana projects. We have ABC at number 1, Utes at number 3. And ABC sales were absolutely flying yesterday. That floor is around 77 SOL. I heard through the grapevine that the creator of that project is 9x9x9, which was one of the guys that was going to buy the Pudgy Penguins earlier this year or late last year. So interesting there. Jadu Avatars did well, or Jade Avatars did well over the past 24 hours. The 11K collection with a mint price of 0.11. Popped to 2x after it sold out. Lots of people in our Discord got in on that and made a nice little 2x.
It's hard to get a 2X these days. So got to feel good about that. The project has big names involved, including Champ Medici, Hollywood Transformer director Michael Bay. Okay, no big deal. And they also raised $44 million. So this is one to watch. The floor is at 0.23. I mean, when you got Michael Bay and $44 million, I mean, that's a 2X in my book. The Stoics Mint by Gabe Weiss, which many people had on their watch list, had to stop their mint after bots broke into and hacked their server and did a coordinated attack, minting thousands for free. After the team contacted OpenSea, the collection shows nothing, and the mint is pushed to a new date. What a crazy scenario there, just bots hacking servers to get free mints. Never saw that coming. Artblock's curated drop roster immediately sold out in the Dutch auction, reaching 0.5 ETH. Buyers, including Zeneca, Punks 6529, we'll see if Mr. Node bought some too. And the floor has immediately 2X'd, holding at 1 ETH. So multiple wins that we're talking about in the weather report, the roster drop and the Jada Avas both doing very nicely. Bitcoin's trying to get its sluggish ash over 19K. ETH looking solid in the mid-1600s. So ETH and Solana both actually ripped up 6% in the past 24 hours. The entire world is trying to figure out if the world is ending or if it's back to bull party mode as usual. Back to you in the studio.
Fantastic weather report. I'll be at a mobile one. Some other updates from the Nifty Daily Digest, which is the newsletter written by Signal 5 days a week. You can subscribe at thenifty.com. Is that Beeple and 10KTF's mastermind, I believe he's also a co-founder, Figgy, are going to be guests on an exclusive Twitter Space interview with Crazy Crypto Carl happening later today. This guy's like best friends with Beeple or something. He's always getting these big, big guests. Last time he had Beeple on, Jack Dorsey retweeted the damn thing. So shout out to Crazy Crypto Carl for landing another big fish. Hey, let's get Beeble on our show, Carl. What do you think of that? Solana, another news story. Solana is giving Ethereum a run for its money at this point in terms of volume after Utes has generated over $7 million worth of secondary sales since Monday, despite the minting delays. Holy shit. Another news event, the NBA is partnering with So Rare to launch a free-to-play NFT collectibles-based fantasy basketball game. So Rare plans to launch the NBA game this fall in line with the upcoming 2022-2023 season. The NBA trying another angle on NFTs. They printed Top Shot NFTs to hell, destroying all the value there. Then they put out a free-to-mint NFT during the playoffs on Ethereum that went promptly to zero. This almost feels like it could actually be a good attempt, and we're seeing more and more of the lean-in to fantasy sports specifically with NFTs. Last but not least, GameStop is doubling down on crypto and partnering with none other than FTX. The new partnership will introduce GameStop's customers into the FTX ecosystem, including its marketplaces for digital assets, while the retailer will become FTX's preferred retail partner in the United States. Wow.
GameStop. Preferred retail partner, like in stores? Like, what the hell is FTX going to sell in stores?
I went and looked up this yesterday, and it's basically they're just selling gift cards to FTX for crypto or something. Like, it's not...
Great way for scammers to flush money. I like that. One more thing on the report, PO, is the fact that last night, NFT Nick, Easy, K Dean, and I ran a high stakes fantasy football draft. Easy decided, hey, a prize pool worth $10,000. That's cool and all. I'm actually going to go to my building's happy hour and just hang out and drink and just auto draft my first five picks. And he picked four running backs in a row, completely messing up the entire draft structure for everyone else, including K. Dean, that was hoping to scoop one of those up.
It's a long day since lunch, money, Easy. You're too big for 10 grand now that you got that Ute money.
Hey, listen, Solana's been hot. Your boy had a 74 soul profit day yesterday. I'm not too worried about my four running backs in the first four rounds. I now have trade bait. I'm going to win this league. That's really all I can say.
I would never join that league because I could tell that K. Dean was just trying to get us to put in one ETH because he knows more about football than us, and that's a straight up shark league. I'm not being your exit liquidity, Dean.
I don't know. I have the highest score set queued up for this coming week so far, but no one's adjusted their players, so who knows if that's going to stick around. But you know, I'm expecting to actually win this one and destroy everyone who actually like everyone in the comments like knew the name of the players and stuff, and I'm like, what the hell are y'all talking about? Like, I don't like you actually know who these people are. I don't I feel like the more that you know in these sorts of things, the worse off that you are. So actually, I feel very strongly about my position at this point as the least informed individual.
Yeah, I was telling Nick, I like to really pick guys with like cool names once you get in the deep rounds. Like, what would an announcer say? Like, Dotson with the touchdown. You're like, that sounds good. I'm going to pick that guy.
Kicks always has the most interesting when he's in the NFT market. His theses are similar to that. It's just like, yeah, like this one's facing left, everything else is facing right. Kid, I think it's
real good website.
Go ahead, Nick.
Sorry, I said kid cartoons thesis.
Yeah, there you go. Ben has his hand raised. Ben, what's going on?
Yeah, PL, I wanted to extend that talk about the fantasy and NFT connection. And I started looking into this yesterday, and I'm a little late on it, later than I'd want to be. But DraftKings, which is a daily fantasy sports site, actually has their own NFT project within their app where I don't know how many people are familiar with it, but it's basically a combination of like NBA Top Shot collectibles and actual daily fantasy sports. And so the way that it works is you buy NFTs, and instead of just making a regular standard fantasy lineup, you have to actually own the NFTs to be able to play them in a contest that has actual prize money. So it's combining two of my favorite things with fantasy sports and NFTs, and I'm really excited about it. I started looking into it the last few days, and with NFL starting this week, I think it's something really good for people who enjoy NFTs and sports to pay attention to.
Yeah, I thought it was like a natural thing. And I know that you have a background with fantasy sports from before NFTs, like more than, you know, a lot of people play fantasy sports. But no, I know, Ben, you were involved at a deeper level. If I remember our first kind of conversation on the fantasy sports thing, if I recall, people were kind of like taking the angle of like not everything needs to be on the blockchain. Fantasy sports probably don't need to be on the blockchain. And I kind of felt like, yeah, they'd probably be better on the blockchain, especially for the dynasty leagues or whatever, when you retain players and stuff like that. I want to throw to Jesse, and then I'm excited to have Babin on stage. Jesse, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on, I mean, I think you're right about the sports thing, at least when it comes to fantasy sports. I think the ticketing thing is still lagging. There's so many people that want to do so many things with ticketing and sports, and they're like, oh, you can connect it to GPS and do this. It's like, this is already being done. It's already being done in Web 2. You know, your data is being used to track you, like Amazon sending you freaking stuff you know you don't even know you need yet. So I think that's but I think the fantasy sports thing has the natural you know, symbiosis with just, you know, let's just call it what it is, basically gambling, or at least high risk, right, financial transactions. So I think there's a lot of potential there, and I like what you said about the whatever, the dynasty leagues. But I just wanted to touch base on Stoics, because I mentioned it. I recommended it yesterday, and Kix mentioned it in his weather report, and it got botted. It's Gabe Weiss. It's like a, I don't know, a smaller collection project, but it's they've done 10Ks before, so they obviously, this is not FUD for them. I actually take responsibility for them being botted and the whole project being ruined. I made a joke yesterday that if you, there's a rumor, if you bought one of these, you might get a one of one thirst trap from Jessica Yartrosky. And I think apparently what happened is all the J-Yat stands and all her like loser friends ended up botting it just to get that one of one thirst trap. So there is no J-Yat thirst trap, but the Stoics is back on today. They've taken care of it, and it's back on. So
got it.
I remember Jesse before he said anything other than Jessica Yatrowski out of his mouth, but here he is yet again.
We got a new version. He's evolved.
On the other day. Jeez.
So that's like 10 mentions in 2 days. So Babin has his hand raised. What's going on?
What's up, guys?
Whoa!
What's that? Ladies and gentlemen, it's football season. We have a bunch of players playing. We have fantasy sports going on in NFT land.
Does anybody care? I don't know. It's like the new play to earn. Everyone thinks it's going to make a bunch of money.
I don't think it is. Over to you, P.O.
Wow, okay, all right. Hey, look, you can't say that Nick doesn't swing the bat. Bavin, sorry that Nick interrupted you with
no worries,
that
no worries.
Electric joke. Go ahead, Bavin.
I'm just going to go back to the GameStop thing. I think the retail – so I actually went to GameStop earlier this week to get a new Xbox for the new Call of Duty, and they suckered me into buying this GameStop membership, $15 a year, so I thought it was a no-brainer, where you get $5 a month back to use in basically – typically they use Xbox gift cards or something like that. I feel like now if FTX partnering, there's 5.8 million members. If you get $5 a year, $5 a month, that's $60 a year, $300 million to go to like a FTX gift card to buy crypto, that could be $300 million of crypto to actually own instead of buying some random skin in Fortnite or some pass in Call of Duty, things like that. So I think that could be – a reason why, and it's like just onboarding tons of people, 5.8 million. So
I think that, look, it's definitely, well, one entity it's definitely good for is GameStop, I think, right? Like they are definitely doing a good job, like kind of properly plugging into Web3. What they could have done is what everybody else did, and just make a random NFT project and raise, you know, $1 million or $2 million on the primary and then have it go to zero. And instead, it seems to me that they're at least properly plugging in. Nick, you just raised your hand. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, the GameStop thing is a bunch of nonsense. Yet another company trying to throw in Web3 on it in an attempt to revive things. And instead, it was a complete disaster. Their revenue, their sales declined, their losses widened, and they've continued to burn through cash and inventory swelled. So how has Web3 helped that? Well, not at all. Literally what's happened is they brought in some executive to put some spit shine on this thing, and it's not working. Despite that, the stock pumped dramatically. So that said, sales attributable to collectibles rose from $177 million in the prior year's second quarter to $223 million. And so that's what the situation is there. In terms of the FTX, it's not clear how this is going to materialize. They're discussing working on e-commerce, supposedly, and online marketing. But for now, it's literally just gift cards. So I feel like the hope was, hey, guys, announce some earnings, hop in here and say, all right, we're doing Web3 stuff. The market's going to absolutely love it. And actually, in hindsight, I think it did. The stock is up 5% today, despite the market taking a dump. And so it does appear that that thesis may be right. Say Web3 and it all works out. The problem is if you look over the past 6 months or so, the stock isn't like doing that hot. And even 25 is way off their peak there back in March of 47. So it's not, they're not able to go against the broader market here. But whatever, you know, throw Web3.
Yeah, but no one's going against the best of the market. And the only thing up for them quarter over quarter is this collectibles line item. Like hardware sales down and software sales, which is basically used electronics and maybe games, is down. And the only thing up is collectibles.
You raise a good point. You know, some would say, well, you know, Nick's analysis is a bunch of garbage. But, you know, other people say this guy's an absolute fucking genius when it comes to analyzed stocks. So it depends on who you speak to.
Well, look, I mean, I think the thing with GameStop is that you can talk about their revenues, but their stock price has been like largely decoupled from revenues for quite a while. So I don't know if it matters as much how their NFT or Web3 play does. I think for them, if you look at how their stock moves, it more matters that they are their shareholder base is happy with the direction they're taking. And I remember there was an interesting talk from a bunch of these sort of like things that were considered meme stocks where the CEOs are like, yeah, like we have to accept Dogecoin, not because it's necessarily the most profitable thing to do, but because in terms of where the company is at, like they are mostly dictated by their shareholders and by their weird stock price right now. And it's not correlated to revenue. And I think we see that a lot in NFTs too, where the actual performance of the company as a company is not necessarily super correlated to the NFTs. Like, how many NFT projects, like Moonbird's a great example. They raised $50 million from Andreessen, which I think by any metric of like company success is pretty good. And their floor price went down by, right? Like, it's not necessarily correlated to company performance. And so that's true in public markets. It's true, especially in crypto land.
Yeah. And just real quick, I think Nick's being a little bit harsh on this and maybe not thinking through it. It's like, at the end of the day, if you getting into Web3 is a good thing for quote unquote Web2 businesses, it just is. I mean, Nick, you and me were making the joke yesterday. What's Web3? You do the same thing that you were doing before, but you make 5x the money. And I think that's a product of being so early. And that's a great tweet, Nick. I don't know if you ended up putting it out, but if you don't put it out, I'm gonna put it out.
No, I didn't, but I appreciate that it's stuck. And it is actually true though. Because we were discussing, we said it yesterday on the show with like Tiny Meat Gang, where they're able to generate a surprising amount of revenue simply because they actually create great content. Us, on the other hand, what we do is we just speak and then we focus on the revenue side of things.
Yeah, we make mediocre content and make a bunch of money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the strategy.
But I like GameStop taking this approach, like Bavin was talking about, you know, versus the, here's the GameStop NFT primary sale, one ETH or primary sale, half ETH or primary sale, 0.2 ETH, 10,000 supply. Oh, and by the way, it's going to zero, everybody. So FYI, if you want to buy this, go ahead. It's going to go to zero, but go ahead. So we got people with their hands raised. We also got Bored Elon Musk, who comes from video games. And is the founder of a video game Web3 project. So I'm excited to hear from everybody. Let me go to Nick T. It says, Nick T, you're rocking a Pudgy Penguin. It says that you're in investing, finance, crypto. You're a shit poster. You're a reply guy. And then you're repping a few things. You're repping Bitcoin, wonky stocks, Pudgy Penguins, Campai Pandas, and the occasional shit coin. What's going on?
How we doing, guys? Thanks for having me up. I had a few points. I wanted to backtrack to the fantasy. Not going to name the project because I don't want to shill it, but I'm in one project where 300 people playing fantasy. You win each week, you get a whole new NFT. And then if you win outright, you get Super Bowl tickets. So I just want to throw that out there. Pretty dope.
So real quick, Super Bowl tickets is a draw, right? Those have utility. You redeem those to go to the Super Bowl. That's pretty good. What about the NFT you're talking about? Every week you win an NFT. Is there liquidity on that? And if so, why?
Yeah, they're about 0.23 floor right now.
Why?
Why they 0.23? They haven't like, minted why would out someone yet, buy it? So it's a little hard to get past the $400 limit that they're minting for. But I didn't want to touch on that too long. I just wanted to throw that out there. Sure. It's one of the ones in my bio. I won't shill it. But then I also wanted to touch on the market. Not financial advice, of course. So if you get wrecked, don't blame the Penguin on Twitter. But I just keep seeing lower lows and lower highs. I think we got another leg down, and I'm pretty stoked to get some cheap coins and then eventually roll that into some shitty JPEGs.
Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate it. Well, Nick, you're welcome anytime. You've been on the show before. I'm remembering now your banner, the Bitcoin meme banner. Anything else before we move on? Any other details you want to share about what you're seeing in the market?
Nah, man, nothing right now. I'll stick around. Thanks for having me up. And yeah, I came on the day after the Vitalik Bulge merge scenario. So that was fun.
That was a big day. Come back anytime, man. Stick around. Raise your hand if you have anything to contribute. Dadeep has his hand raised. What's going on, Dadeep?
Yeah, I had a similar question related to, you know, sports NFTs. Is it okay if I go on or is it like too late?
You go ahead.
Yeah, all right. So as someone who's not a huge fan of Burgerland football, what I wanted to know was, you know, if the actual football, if they wanted to come up with a huge NFT project, something like NBA Top Shot, right? What lessons can they take from that project and implement, you know, like in their own project to sort of generate more interest and, you know, bring more fans onto the, you know, like Web3 train, like, what is one thing that they should, you know, look at improving? The fantasy thing is definitely one thing, right? But is there anything else that, you know, they can learn from NBA Top Shot?
So I have some ideas, but I'd like to hear from if Ben has any thoughts on this, because Ben was introduced to Web3/NFT. Well, not Web3, but through to NFTs through Top Shot. And I feel like Ben would probably have a good take on this. Ben, any thoughts?
What was the specific question, Pio?
Did basically, like, what could somebody like the NBA learn from the Top Shot experience on how to, like, improve the way that they drop NFTs moving forward, and specifically how they operate with fantasy? Am I right about that, Dideep?
Yeah, also, like, for example, FIFA, right? So if FIFA wanted to launch their own project on a huge scale and, you know, basically bring on fans from all over the world onto Web3 through their NFTs, like, what's one thing they can learn from NBA Top Shot?
I think if you wanted to boil it down to one thing, it would be don't increase your supply so drastically so fast. A big issue that Top Shot had is not in the quality of the product, but how much supply they released in such a short period of time, including having certain moments, which would be like a video snapshot or clip, which is what a Top Shot moment is. They would make this same video across different tiers and say, all right, this video there's 200 of, and then there's also 1,000 of this and as a common, and then there's 10,000. So I would say that the messaging there wasn't great, but it was all about supply that got people really up in arms. So anybody who's going to come in, FIFA or whoever, really needs to consider that, especially when you look at what the demand is. And they had a lot of demand, and they really just overshot with the supply, which I think tanked a lot of the user experience.
And Ben, is that in line with, like, the mentality that they might have brought in, which is, like, almost treating these NFTs as if they were, like, jersey sales, right? It's like no one's going to complain about the circulating supply of a Ja Morant jersey. A kid just wants to have the jersey, so his parents buy the jersey for him. And the more jersey sales, the better. That's just revenue. Do you think that was the mentality a little bit with Top Shot? Like, sell more NFTs, it's more revenue.
I would say it probably more resembles the Topps trading cards model. But the difference there is that, you know, exclusivity comes over time with those, or more exclusivity comes over time, especially as things are destroyed or lost or whatever, or just people lose interest over time in terms of collecting the cardboard cards, as we've seen with people getting excited about digital. But yeah, I think it's more of trying to replicate that model where there are a lot of supply, but wear and tear over time actually decreases that supply. So there definitely is some deflation there that I think wasn't accounted for initially with Top Shot, but they have introduced like burning and locking up of moments. So they have done some of that a little bit more artificially, but yeah, with the cardboard trading cards, the exclusivity comes in the time and the your ability to basically keep it mint.
Okay, so they're doing something. I want to throw to Micah, who I think probably has some good things to say about this. Then Elizabeth has her hand raised too, but Micah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this has always been kind of the big thing in collectibles, and Ben definitely nailed it when we talk about, like, what happened with Topps and what happened in the 90s when the second there was, you know, something lucrative about sports cards, all of a sudden they printed to demand and pretty much fucked it up. So I think the big thing for any one of these sports is you need to build that trust. And the second that people realize that you're just going to keep printing these things larger and larger, you ruin that trust. So I think that NBA Top Shot kind of screwed that up just in thinking the way we make money is print more packs, make more packs, when the real way you make money is that you show those first users that you're going to take the things they collected and you're going to integrate them and you're going to make them interesting things to collect. Like, they were very against burn mechanics. They kept raising the amount of each item that got printed, and I'm sure originally their team was like, we're making so much money, but the idea with NFTs and the transparency of NFTs means that people can see when you're sort of starting to take advantage and it, you know, the incentives start to not align. And so I think that's the biggest thing, is whoever's going to integrate this correctly is going to start out with the mint and with these NFTs getting into people's hands, but then they're going to show that the development efforts and the way they want to make funds is via people getting excited and the prices going up. And once NBA Top Shot lost that trust, they could never get it back.
Yeah. And I know you came from Top Shot too, so I appreciate your perspective. Elizabeth, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, I was going to say that that's true about all NFTs and not just the sports ones. A lot of the projects that we saw in the bull market who just dramatically increased their supply are all struggling with depressed floor prices and just a smaller community now. And it makes me wonder about the perceptions we have about like teams sweeping their own floors or burn mechanics, because the reality is a lot of good projects just have too many NFTs at this point.
Yeah, you've been talking about the idea that a lot of NFT projects overinflated their supply quite a bit, right? So the idea that they have to reduce the supply now, I mean, that's just the kind of expansion and contraction, approach that is realistically going to be something that moves into the NFT space. I appreciate you bringing that up. So we got Mike and Spencer that have their hand raised. I know Bored Elon had come on stage. He actually wanted to come on to defend Nick's take on GameStop. Go ahead, Bored.
Yeah, an unpopular decision, I don't know, to defend Nick, but I think it was a really astute observation. And I think the point you made, Pio, about, take what you've done in Web 2 and basically apply Web 3 and make it better is spot on. And that was the opportunity that GameStop had. And I feel like it's kind of squandered its brand. Like, this is a company that basically enabled NFT trading back in the day, right? Like, you would buy game cartridges or CDs or whatever, like, and be able to trade them with your friends. That was its core business. Eventually, we all started downloading games, and that pretty much collapsed GameStop. And so they had to start selling Funko Pops and other bullshit. And that's not really what GameStop was about. But like, this was kind of their moment to come back and go back to their core proposition, which is, we're going to let gamers trade games with each other and game items with each other. And instead of that, it feels like they're sort of just pandering to degens and trying to pump the stock price. And as somebody who kind of like came up in the games world, it's a bummer. Like, GameStop was a really powerful brand, and it's just being super diluted. So I think the lesson, and this is just using GameStop as an example, is, yeah, take what you did in the real world that really worked well and use this opportunity to continue, improving upon it in Web3. And that's just not what's happening with GameStop.
So I want to throw to Nick, obviously, just raise his hand. But Bored, I guess, what would you have done different? Like, what if you were advising GameStop, what would you say that they should do?
So I think that of all the brands that could pull it off, like, doing a marketplace specifically for gaming would have been super useful. Things like OpenSea and other marketplaces are really tailored for collectibles and art. But when you think about game items, they have a lot of like really specific attributes that need to be searchable, that need to have information about how they're used in the game. They could have been that like e-commerce platform, and they have the brand to bring gamers in. So that was what I assumed that they would do. Like, if you have your own wallet and a badass web store that basically lets you sort through game items really efficiently, it was like a no-brainer. It's honestly shocking to me that they didn't do it, because it would make so much sense. So that's what I would advise them to do. And perhaps that's the route they're taking, but they've been really just kind of, quiet about their game plan. And every, announcement they have made has just seemed to be sort of like something that appeals to stock price or to pumping their stock. So it's just been very confusing to me, and I hope they fix the course of the ship.
All right, well, we'll throw to Nick, and Bavin just raised his hand again. Nick, go ahead.
I mean, the only thing I was going to say, Bored just provided the background context, which is incredibly helpful. But this sort of thing happens all the time, where it's just like, let's go do a press release about a partnership. It's actually the same thing that's done in crypto on a regular basis, where like two companies will announce a partnership and it's not even clear that they have any desire to actually develop that partnership beyond them each shaking each other's hand and saying, yeah, we have a partnership. And in this case, it feels very much more, hey, let's make an announcement during this in the hopes that it pumps things, which I don't think is like inherently bad, but it feels a little more manipulative, because the development of something like this, it like Board was saying, feels like a shortcut, which is a pretty common thing. The problem is that sort of information is absorbed very quickly. So you get a short-term pump, but it's hard to get sustainable results over that sort of thing. So anyways, I just wanted to say, you know, Board was really insightful because he was confirming what I had said. And so I just agree with him. And so we can probably go back and forth on this for the rest of the show.
Bavin, you had raised your hand. Did you have something to say in response to what Board said?
I think he makes a great point. I think the one thing I would say is they can go that direction that Board was saying. And maybe FTX helps like onboard people into some sort of wallet kind of holding place for them to end up trading on these kind of marketplace. But no, he made a good point.
And I'll just add, like, it's very possible that FTX will help them. It's just that their customer base are traders, right? And that's the game that they like to play. Those are not people who are playing, you know, video games typically. And so that's my concern, is just like, you're getting all these resources, you're tapping into this huge market of FTX people, but do they care about games?
But so FTX people really are pushing towards going to retail, right? Like when they bought Blockfolio, the whole idea with buying Blockfolio is like, let's stop just going after the huge traders and get retail in.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. Mike, you had your hand raised. Anything to add there?
Not on that specific one. I just also wanted to make a comment that, holy shit, yesterday Solana was the wildest day of trading I've ever seen. It was insane. I don't know what the fuck is going on over there. But it was fun.
Could you elaborate?
Yeah,
there was 57 ABC derivatives. All of them,
they all pumped. Pumping. You could,
and
like,
somehow the discount them sub like... 0.2. You made like a minimum 5x. Like, it was electric. Dude, like, everything pumped yesterday. I've never seen the market so hot, and it wasn't even on the back of Utes. Utes was second in volume. ABC was first. But like, even buying OK Bears on the show yesterday, from when I said I'm thinking about buying one, that went up 19 SOL. So, like, everything in the market was moving. Kets on Krek went up 20 SOL. It was just, like, a great day for SOL in general.
Well,
but also those 50 projects. Like, imagine this. There's 60 different shitty projects, and they come through these Launch My NFTs, and everyone buys them, and everyone dumps them. And it's like somebody had to wake up with those in their wallet this morning, and it sure as hell wasn't me. But, like, somebody is still currently holding all these shitty projects.
I have 47 corns right now, and they're worth 0.001. So, like, mistakes were made, but, like, some wins were had. So as long as you caught a couple of the right ones, you were good.
So, and meanwhile, Shrimps is not doing anything, right?
They tested 5 last night. So, I mean, they're hanging out.
So, okay. There was something I had said or tweeted yesterday was how Solana, for a moment, it came within a pretty close distance. At one moment in time, it was within like 10%. It was ETH had risen to 10 million. Solana was over 9 million. Solana is now sitting around 9 million right now, and ETH has now gone up to 12.4 million. But it was pretty close in terms of potentially flipping. Additionally, the volume of Solana NFTs over the past 2 days is basically the all-time high for Solana NFT trading, only reached previously one day, which was May 17th, earlier this year. But otherwise, it's actually destroyed it in volume. So I think that, you know, the effect of this is, you know, a follow-on effect of trading Utes, essentially. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays in, like, whether or not Solana can sustain the volume that it's experiencing. But I for one, have definitely been impressed. And the other thing that was huge, actually, sorry. So USD volume, I got this inverted. It's not USD volume that was the highest. It's the number of traders that were the highest. I don't know why the site I'm using actually shows that as the top of the chart, but the number of traders, there were 21,913 unique buyers. So we had nearly the top of that, basically, for 2 days in a row. The Solana, the USD volume is nowhere near the top. That was 32, that was three times as much at its peak back in April. Remember those days? Now let's be honest, this whole NFT thing is done. So I don't even know why we're discussing it, but I like the all this action. So Micah, who's now a Solana convert, where are you following that action? Are you just in our Discord, in the Sol Trades Discord, and then just trading along with everybody?
Well, I want to be clear. I keep getting lumped in with the Ethereum traders, but I'm the reigning 10 Sol Challenge winner. So I'm an expert on the Solana side. Let's be perfectly honest. But yeah, I was just they actually were in voice chat yesterday for a lot of it, and that was huge. Everyone just like discussing which ones were potentially rugs, which is pretty much all of them. But yeah, that was sweet. I will say Leezy sold something for 3 Sol that just sold for 20 Sol on one of the big wins we had yesterday.
Ooh, God forbid.
But but the other, I want to give one Ethereum thing that I bought yesterday. This might have been dumb, but it's called Marimo.life. It's like a little ball in a fish tank, and all the information about it is in Japanese. So I don't know if it's a good idea, but it is getting a ton of volume, and like, I don't know. Apparently, it's somebody well known in Japan. So there's my shitty alpha for the day, but at least it's one Ethereum project that I'm trying to do something on.
That sounds pretty good to me. And maybe that's a problem, is I'm just like, wait, so everything's in Japanese and it's like a Japanese person? I'm in.
Well, Google Translate pops up when you show up right there and it converts it into your native language, in this case, English. And it sounds like one of those old like Tamagotchi things. It says all you have to do, basically you can grow Marimo, which I guess is a type of plant that's popular. I don't own one of these, but you can throw them in water by purchasing NFTs. All you have to do is change the water occasionally. Marimo grows bigger and bigger. We want to deliver Marimo to as many people as possible, so we have a max of 10 purchases per wallet. There's really not much other than that. Literally, like, the next subject of the site says specifications. Buy Marimo NFT, change the water occasionally, Marimo gets bigger. So it sounds like you're just going
bullish.
Through.
That is bullish.
And the concept of it says it's wonderful that there are so many exciting projects both in Japan and overseas. But on the other hand, for those who have never purchased an NFT, it's difficult and hard to get into. It's difficult because there's so many technical terms. I don't know which NFT to buy. Don't have time to contribute to the community. Well, in this project, they aim to expand the base of people who are interested in NFTs. That ain't happening in this market. And enjoy nurturing them over time rather than earning money by buying and selling frequently. So this is to go against the flipping mentality. This is for you to care and love your Marimo.
Well, that's never worked. Here's the thing. So I'm on the site. I'm interested. I went to the company profile section of the site. And it seems as though they were founded in 2018. So if this is true, right? Because you just never know. This could not be true. But if it's true, they were founded in 2018. There's a section that just says capital, and it just says 100 million yen as of October 31st, 2021. So first of all, that's a nice round number. They're just like, we got 100 million bucks, right? We got 100 million
yen. Which
is
$694,000.
Well, there you go. Look at that. I don't know. A bunch of people raised their hand. Real quick, I just want to open it up. Does anyone know anything about Marimo? Otherwise, I'll throw somewhere else.
We're like promoting this rug pull, basically.
We're not promoting it. I'm curious about it. Anyway, Signal has her hand raised. What's going on, Sig?
Yeah, I'm just curious about the state of the market right now, because the period that's happening on Sol really reminds me what was happening in on ETH back in April, when we had Yuga, we had Moonbirds, and there was a lot of liquidity back in the market at that time because there were so many wins. And what's interesting is after April is when you started to see the Ethereum side start to trend downwards, where we've had lower and lower levels. So right now, obviously on Sol, we're seeing that there's a lot of activity, but and obviously, I think some of that money is also coming from ETH going across the Sol. We're seeing, I'm seeing at least on my Twitter, a lot of ETH, previous ETH traders now being on Sol. But the question is, where do we go after this? Because this momentum is unlikely to sustain. And so what I'm thinking about this period, which I think is definitely coming, is that there's going to be projects dropping sort of December, January time. And for sure, they're going to be saying that you need to hold XYZ NFT to be able to mint whatever comes out later. And so what I would say with the current state of the market, as the attention is now going to Sol on ETH, look at the price action that's going to inevitably come, and pick up anything that you think could pick up anything that you could need, that you think you're going to need to mint for any projects coming December, January, because we're going to see price depression definitely on the ETH side. So that's what I would say for the current state of the market.
I mean, great analysis, Sig. Yeah, you got to think that a lot of people have been onboarded to Solana and the kind of trading action is there. And maybe a lot of people that felt like the trading action wasn't on ETH are interested in Sol now. Spencer, is your hand raised regarding the CloneX news?
No, my hand was raised. I wanted to weigh in on this Solana thing real quick, if that's okay, Pio.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
I think one thing that we shouldn't miss, and I'm super excited for the crazy time the Solana friends are having, but I will say, I think one of the big reasons that we are seeing so much attention on Solana right now is that, you know, the ETH merge is like a week away, and I think it would have been really silly as a project to have planned anything big for this week. And a lot of ETH traders, myself included, like I've been pretty open on like I'm not trading now through the merge. And so I think it'll be interesting to me to see if post merge the economy of attention will stay with Solana, or if the moment right now is just perfect because all the stuff going on in ETH is sort of paused because no one wanted to plan anything around the time of the merge. And a lot of the traders don't really want to trade because of the huge volatility in ETH price. So I think it's pretty exciting for me to see, but what will be more exciting is if the momentum here can be sustained even when there isn't this giant like lack of ETH activity that is driving a lot of people towards Solana.
Yeah, I mean, with Solana, look, this is just interesting. And I've said before that it's not out of the question that the NFT trading market could just totally move to Solana. I mean, Dadeep comes from Solana. Elizabeth's been spending a ton of time on Solana. I want to get to the CloneX news in a minute, but let's keep talking about this. Elizabeth, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
I was going to say that we'll probably see this sort of frothiness in Solana over the next week or so. Late last night, DGods and Utes had major kerfuffles with their whole raffle model for waitlisted and rejected applicants. And as a result of that, they're delaying the reveal of the Utes until next week so that they don't miss the deadline. So like we may have a lot of people with just 140 or 200 souls sitting on the sideline getting bored and willing to make short-term plays and willing to, you know, trade a couple of things here and there on Solana or trade, you know, degen garbage or trade legit projects. It's just that like right now everyone is waiting for the Utes reveal and now the Utes reveal is delayed again. So like we're just all kind of sitting here being like, all right, well, I'm not going to just like sit here with my capital doing nothing. I'm going to trade this other random project. That space last night with Frank was like at like really, really early EST time. So most people haven't even like fully processed that yet either.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think, there was at least one example in ETH that this happened. I guess maybe it was the ApeCoin airdrop. Am I right? Like the ApeCoin airdrop, like everybody all of a sudden it pumped other floors because people they were flush with liquidity and then they deployed in other projects. Am I mistaken about that? There was some sort of
event. That's exactly how it happened.
Post ApeCoin, that's when the market went quiet. It was post other deed and post Moonbirds that the market went wild afterwards. ApeCoin, weirdly, I think it was because it was the apes and they're a very experienced community. They took that money and they didn't put it back into the market. That was a weird thing about that time.
Okay. Bavin, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
I'd love to ask some of the Solana people why they think DGods have been falling so much relative to Utes, given, yeah, just would love to hear that.
Easy. Elizabeth.
I mean, yeah, I can answer some of that. It's because the claimed Ute was the big value add. It's 150 floor price that you're getting off of that DGod. So a lot of people are flooring excess who hold multiple. A lot of people have been holding these DGods since 3 Sol. So I think it is a big capital realization market right now.
Okay. Elizabeth?
It's also not clear what the future of DGods holds and how that's going to play out and the two separate brands. So I think there's just lots of people just like moving their money around in interesting ways at this point.
Okay, Micah?
As the reigning 10 soul challenge champion, I'm going to say that, at heart, everyone on Solana, and you can tell by the things minting, are just degenerate gamblers that want a little bit of excitement. And a collection that's already sold out and is already at the top of its game is not really that exciting. You're waiting for roadmap items. But obviously, Utes still has some sort of gambling aspect. You can mint a rare. And then all these other collections, there's some sort of gambling of what's coming. So I think this is perfectly natural. It happens every single time with blue chips. We've all seen it on all sorts of huge hyped projects. People that just want to gamble, which it's so easy to do on Solana, are just moving to gambling. And that's just how those projects work.
I think just to clarify what I meant, it's like for me it was weird given that Bored Apes were just so much higher than Mutants, which I know it's not the same thing with Utes and D-Gods, but it was like 5 to 7 times the price.
It's not clear that they're like second tier of the club, right? Like I don't think Frank has been as clear that they're like it's D-Gods. Like there's some aspects of ranking, but they're kind of meant to be sort of separate projects from what I had gathered. So I think that's one element, but the larger element, right, is that 150 floor price includes the ability to gamble, whereas the price of a D-God now does not.
Okay. So people are sending me stuff. If we're going to all of a sudden do a meta that's focused on like foreign language from Asian countries, whether it's that Japanese one or this one, it seems to be maybe Chinese. This one's called Box Cat Planet. Melissa Mimosa sent this to us. She historically has known what's up. It's like pumping right now. This kind of feels like, you know, our old school, like, you know, this thing just came out. No one knows anything about it. It's pumping like with good art and it's unclear what it's ultimately going to mean. People always complain that this show doesn't surface projects at the low end of the market. Well, here's one. Boxcat
Talk
Planet.
About some winning stuff. Is this the Boxcat Planet official? Is that yes. The right or is that a scam?
No, 2,800 items, 50th the volume, a lot of secondary volume right now. 0.07 floor. There you have it. Low end.
Boxcat Planet.
Boxcat Planet. That's, there you go.
And that describes it. You get a cat that's shaped like a box.
Yeah. They got a, you know, the typical, like, the team. Well, it looks like it's a legit artist, right? And then there's, like, a sizable team. I like this artist's art. I'm on her website now, female artist. It looks cool. You know, historically, there's been these where they sell out. And that's a massive win for the team. So shout out to the team for selling out an NFT project and making a sizable amount of capital in like a 24-hour period. And then there's a pump. So the degens that get in early buy it and there's a pump and they sell it and then it dumps down and it doesn't come back. Or maybe it comes back like, you know, yeah. Go ahead.
Her art is pretty cool though. Outside of these individual characters, the picture of her with the paintings there.
Super dope.
Are pretty awesome. I'm not sure that I love box cats in particular, but she does seem to. It has very much a sticker flair, and actually, it looks like she made some with paper as well, which is or no, is that paper or plastic? I can't even paper or plastic. What the hell am I talking about? Hold on. Oh, sorry, that was the wrong. Damn it, I had the wrong soundtrack. My apologies. Hold on. We have some breaking news unrelated to this. Spotty just texted me. It does appear that Doodles still has not tweeted. Sorry, back to you.
How is the breaking news not that the queen just died, apparently, and there's...
No, apparently she hasn't died. Apparently it's fake stuff on Twitter.
Fake stuff on Twitter. There's actual breaking news.
We're not
news,
passing
though.
Around this fake news sort of stuff. We're talking about the hard-hitting stories over here, okay? Spotty just texted me. Still no tweets from their account. They couldn't even say new phone, who dis? Like they couldn't even tweet that out. I feel like there's just a lot of opportunities right now for some real promising opportunities. Despite that, the floor is still holding strong. So I mean, it does appear that people are still bullish on this project. I was hoping that, you know, after all of the the planned and manufactured FUD that I was focused on this weekend, where I was just like, you know, sort of architected this whole thing with burnt toast, that like the floor would drop a little more and I could snipe one of these things at a significant discount. But here we are, the planned FUD campaign and operative was just a complete disaster.
Well, you are built different. You really do lean in, Nick. No one can say that you don't. The actual breaking news, and I know I've thought Spencer might bring this up.
Breaking news.
I don't know. Did Spencer not see this? Is that it seems that none other than LeBron James is getting into the CloneX ecosystem, in the sense that so someone's like reporting this to me, he's a CloneX guy, you know what I mean? So this is framed from a CloneX guy. He goes, in an unprecedented move, one of the CloneX avatars has had its metadata updated to a crown for King James, to a LeBron beard. I guess LeBron is getting involved with CloneX. I mean, that makes sense considering he's like Nike's biggest thing. What do you think of that?
I think
no one cares.
I've seen this stuff with the CloneX metadata getting updated. I haven't seen anything conclusively that confirms he's involved, and I'm a little skeptical if he is, because if you look at the metadata that was updated, says LBJ. And which, I mean, we're assuming is LeBron James and his beard and all that stuff. But like, if it was actually fully LeBron endorsed, why is it LBJ and not actually just LeBron James? So
they call him that, though. They call him LBJ.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of traits in CloneX that are references to things that are not officially involved with it, right? So like, the Yu-Gi-Oh hair is like Yugi hair or whatever, like it's getting around it, and so I think it's really cool. It's exciting to see that they've been updating the metadata. It's also just cool in general to see that they're doing stuff with updating clone metadata, and it would make a lot of sense. Like, they're like, the Air Jordan logo was on some of the space pod stuff, the loot pods, so like, I think they'll be going towards the Jordan stuff eventually. Maybe that's another silhouette they'll be working with, which would be pretty exciting, because right now both the space strips and the clone forging was Air Force Ones. And Air Force Ones are cool, but from what I've learned from people who are big sneakerheads, they're not necessarily as cool as some of the like other stuff in the Nike ecosystem. So I'm excited to see where they're going. It definitely seems cool, but I would hesitate to say yet, like, oh, like collaboration confirmed, if that makes sense.
I kind of feel like it's probably legit. I get what you're saying, but like, for them to just update this now versus just having it in there from the beginning, it kind of feels like it might be something. Also, the crown's called the Chosen One crown, and if I recall correctly, his brand is called like Chosen, or like that
was his high school nickname.
Got it. Easy. What do you make of this?
I'm just baffled that a non-fungible token would be updating the metadata. It's just against the ethos of Web3. I think it's just completely preposterous here. But that's really my stance.
They didn't say non-mutable or immutable. They just said not fungible.
Valid. All right, I'll give you that one for sure. But no, I mean, it's cool. It's also not surprising because the NBA seems to be like the most in line with cryptocurrency. You think of like Josh Hart and even all the stuff going on with the hair company or air company, which is Marcus Jordan's Solana project, that they're heavily involved in like the Web3 space. So I think it's a good sign overall.
All righty, Dadeep, you've had your hand raised, patiently waiting. What's going on?
Hey, Pio. It seems like once again I'm in an awkward situation where I wanted to talk about something and the topic has, you know, like we have moved on from it. So I'll have to take your permission once again.
Of course, man. You always have my permission, Dadeep. Go nuts.
All right. So, yeah, I wanted to go ahead, you know, with one another misinformed opinion of mine. I do believe that there is a lot of capital that, you know, like we'll see back into the Solana market when the youths reveal, because a lot of wallets that had less than 10 SOL now will have maybe over 100 SOL, and most of these people will deploy it into other projects. So I believe if anything, we are just, you know, like the bull run and the craziness might just be starting. And I look at youths and the DeGods ecosystem like Bitcoin of Solana, right? As Bitcoin has its own dominance and periods, when it's done, you know, seeing all the money inflow, it generally flows out and rotates into other projects. So I see the same in our own ecosystem, but in a small way where people will take profits and rotate it into other projects. So a lot of blue chips might see it first. And I believe, you know, projects like OK Bears and Cats on Crack and various other projects are already seeing some of it, you know, happening. So I believe we might see that on a bigger scale post the reveal. But that's just me. And it could all be psyops and I could absolutely be wrong and misinformed. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're probably right, man. It's like you think about the NFT market as a trader's market. People could say, okay, well, Utes are mispriced right now because it's the pre-reveal hype. It's like the all-time high for hype for Utes. So I'm going to sell my Ute. I'm going to take that capital and I'm going to go put it into OK Bears because no one's been paying attention to OK Bears. But Nate Rivers just joined the OK Bears team and it seems like they're getting the show on the road and they were at a low. I mean, Easy bought an OK Bear yesterday. Easy, 69 Sol?
Yes, sir.
There you go. And what are they at now?
80.
Not bad. Not bad, Easy. Real quick, I let moneytalks.eth on stage. Money Talks, all it says is GM. You got a Coda in your banner. You got a good ENS domain. What's going on?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. I just want to touch on a point before. Big fan, by the way, PO. I've been in here for a minute now. Kind of
thanks,
just
amigo.
Just wanted to talk about before when we were talking about the ApeCoin, how it wasn't, you know, a stimulus drop. I feel like that stimulated the market as well as all the other airdrops, like in December, November of last year. I feel like that's been really the only thing that's been saving our NFT market has been internal money from, you know, up tier blue chip NFTs getting these allowances and putting it back into the market. We only have really seen bull runs, in my opinion, in the past year when the market has been stimulated by these big airdrops. I don't know if you have any points on that that you wanted to talk about, but that's been something that's been underlying with me as well. I feel like there's no outside money coming into our NFT market except for the money that we keep flipping within it internally.
There's definitely not a lot of outside money coming in, and that's the big problem. So, yeah, I mean, the Utes event is basically the biggest one of these events, so to speak, like you're talking about, that we've seen in a while. I mean, Nick is the pro when it comes to, like, you know, big stimulus airdrop events, so he probably knows them better than anybody else on stage. I don't know if anyone else has any thoughts, yeah. And then we're going to wrap. Go ahead,
well,
Nick.
Just as the expert recipient of free money, I just wanted to say there hasn't been enough of that recently, and that's been one of the biggest problems to the NFT space. We just need more cash airdrop to us. And so, yeah, it's been a real struggle. You know, I was hoping today when Beeple would, when he has his conversation and the other WeNu executive and they discuss things, I was hoping that they would announce something about the mechas and that would have some overlap with the apes and that we'd yet again get at least like, I mean, I feel like, what, like, you know, $50,000 or something like that for free seems like well deserved at this point in time. I've been waiting.
Seems appropriate.
Well, I mean, I've been waiting. Like, how long has it been since the land drop? We're now in September, and it's been many months since I got six figures, even five figures, just sent to me. That's a real struggle. And instead, you know, I've easily put in like a few thousand dollars back into the ecosystem as a result after taking out and keeping 99% of it. And I feel like that sort of trickle down effect into the ecosystem is bound to keep this thing surviving. So we need a little bit more of that. Stimulus.
Where the hell is MetaMask and OpenSea coin? I feel like I use the MetaMask trade tool, like swap tool, specifically to get that drop. Did they just rug us or who do I complain to?
MetaMask is a rug.
Did they even did they officially comment on it or was it?
I don't know. Somebody might have just used that for. Wasn't that a rumor for like a long time that
it was
that swap tool?
There was speculation there. There was speculation about that.
It wasn't
also,
even
what
speculation.
Happened?
To...
Go ahead, Seg.
No, I was going to say it wasn't even speculation, consensus. I don't want to say CEO, but an exec from Consensus on the podcast pretty much said it was going to happen. When it happens, I don't know, but they definitely spoke about it.
And weren't we supposed to get a USDC airdrop from Genie? Anyone remember that? It was like if you use Genie, you were going to get literally USDC airdrop to you.
Yeah, was it? Yeah, that is still happening. But there was it was only for people, I think, up until like the 15th of April who had used the platform or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just like anyone who had used Genie was going to get an airdrop.
Right. All right. Well, look, we're at time, ladies and gentlemen. MoneyTalks.eth, come back anytime. We had some great speakers today, some speakers that don't normally speak. Definitely come back. We appreciate you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, check out our NFT pinned to the top. All I'll say is I don't want to hear that I didn't tell you to. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. EST each and every week. We will be back tomorrow. Catch you next time.